And Doug Cates not available, so you lucked out and got me. I don't believe in much pomp and circumstance. I'd just like to get through this. We've got a lot of business on the agenda today we need to get through. Before we start off, can we go around the room and introduce ourselves?
Kevin Paul, West Virginia DOT.
Penn, West Virginia DOH Planning Division.
Scott Perry, the Regional Intergovernmental Council.
Kevin Ward, Bob Coet.
Brett Booth, Gallia County Engineer.
Thomas Witt, Kentucky Transportation Manager.
Randy Spradlin, WBDOH District 2.
Rob Pennington, West Virginia DOH.
Jason Workman, Federal Highway Administration.
Charles Holly, City of Huntington.
Andrew Nichols, Marshall University and RTA.
Max Francis, Wood District Office.
Scott Thompson, Wood District Office.
Barry Brianza, Tri-State Airport.
You guys are up.
Todd Dorcas, West Virginia Division of Public Transit.
Ralph Carney, Lawrence County.
Marion Russell, City of Ashland.
Randy Weaver, City of Ashland.
Jessica Webb, Canada.
Joe Callahan, Kentucky Transportation Manager.
Brett Wells, KYTC District 9.
Jody Sigmund, Kiowa.
Terry Sicking, Kiowa.
Phil Biggs, Graham County.
Salim Salame, Kiowa.
Bethany Wild, Kiowa.
And the gentleman who walked in.
Michael Chirico, Congressman Jenkins.
Thank you. Before we get started, we have two folks that have passed, one as recent as this morning, if I understand correctly. Yes. And I think the staff has a few words to say about these folks, about their tenure and activities in the past.
Well, the first individual, most of you probably know because they served on the TAC for a number of years. That's Richard McCoy, and he passed away on Friday. And he dedicated a lot of his time and hours to making transportation and just the whole community a better place. So in honor of him, Kiowa will be offering a resolution to honor him. So at the policy committee, a resolution will be presented to them for signature. So I think the visitation is actually tonight, or this from 12:30 to 2:30 today, and the funeral is at 2:30. And if you'd like more information, you can come see me. I've got the obituary here. The second individual, just recently this morning, I think at 3 a.m., passed away. And Mr. Mike Perry, most of you probably know him from the Heritage Farm, but he has also served a lot of years in the banking industry and also as a CEO or interim president for Marshall University for about a year. And, he's another individual who dedicated his life to serving the community, and we just want to make sure that, once again, recognize him and let everyone be aware of his loss. And, everyone just keep his family in their prayers and thoughts for the next, because they're going through a hard time. So, like I said, we just want to let everyone know about that.
Thank you. Life's short, and you don't know how many days you got. I knew Mike very well because I had business related activity with him when I was with Ashton Cole, and he's not a finer man in the country. And Mr. McCoy, I didn't know that well, but people who serve are good people. We'll start off with the approval of the amendments, and we'll entertain a motion to adopt the amendments.
So moved.
Motion by Marion, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ralph Klein. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Thank you. Amendment 7 to the Kiowa fiscal year 2014-17 TIF.
Oh, that's me. I think this is amendment number 7. I think you have that in your packet. It shows we received a request from West Virginia DOT to amend the current TIF 2014-17. Basically, we added three projects. The first project, a signal at Holly Greer Boulevard for a cost of $225,000. It's 100%. It's a federal, 100% federal. And the other two projects, resurfacing jobs in Washington Avenue, Overpass Bridge, and the West Deer Ridge, Huntington Mall, resurfacing. And this project really, they exempted from the air quality analysis. we received the concurrence from the interagency consultation group. As you see, also we receive a request to amend the transit project. I'm going to leave that really to Jessica to elaborate more in the transit section, and we'll see.
We found ourselves in kind of an interesting predicament with the FY13 5310 funds. Since our TIP has already outpaced the FY13, we wanted to make sure that we had a total that took into account those funds as well. And so the numbers that are reflected here are just bringing everything with the TIP and STIP in line. And are there any questions?
Actually, it is. If you look at your packet, it shows you the description of the transit proposed adjustment. That's the sheets at the end. It's basically we explain what's going on through the public announcement.
Basically, the 5310 amount was raised to 746,713 for the total of the 3 years, because whenever the FY13 TIP was done, we were still in the process, and they were projecting their amounts based on what they had gotten before we were a TMA. And so that was the discrepancy. With the 5307 and the 5339 programs, basically that's just the entire amount that we're seeing between the federal apportionments and in the STIP, just keeping everything in line.
Okay, and if you have any question about this project, I'll be glad to answer them. If I can't, I'm gonna ask Elwood to elaborate more and explain on this amendment. Jody, do you want to add anything?
I think you covered the West Virginia highway projects well. Transit also.
So I'm going to ask a question. So when the Howard Greer signal gets installed, those who drive that road every day know that the coordination isn't very good, and this isn't going to help it. So hopefully whenever this project is initiated, they also look at the communication with the other signals on that corridor.
And that, hopefully that will be addressed
right
during the installation. But I'm hoping this signal will be coordinated with the rest of the signal system. But
right. Okay.
Well, the problem is the rest of the signal system isn't coordinated because of the
communication. Yeah, that's in Holly Greer.
So that needs to be addressed.
That's, that, Elwood maybe will carry
well,
our...
I think it's been a long way problem.
So we need a motion to approve the amendment 7.
Yes.
Motion. Second. Don't have a second yet. Down here. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Next item, presentation of Cova FY16-19 draft tip for Huntington urbanized area, which okay. is the total area, correct?
Yes, for the total area.
All three states.
Three states. Basically, that's the TIP documents for 2016-19. That means this TIP is supposed to be active after July 1st, 2015. And really, if you go to the abstract, that's I think page number 2. It will explain the amount of the TIB. I mean the total amount of the TIB, 120 million over 4 years. It covers roughly the three states and the two counties in West Virginia: Cabell, Wayne, Lawrence, Ohio, and Boyd and Greenup, Kentucky. And the cost 121 million. It's a total cost. And actually, the first draft was due on the 23rd. It's Ohio deadline. And the final draft should be completed by April 24th. You have a time, really, to review. Was it still in the review process? Hopefully, we will have all the comments before, of course, April 23rd. We're going to have, really, a public workshop or public participation meetings that will be in Ohio, April 7th, right, Jody?
Coordination with ODOT.
Coordination with ODOT. And hopefully we'll have a similar one here in Huntington for the TIB. If you have any comments on the TIB, please review the whole documents. But the most important things for you, we need you really to review the project. If you go to page 37, that's a start with the project in Ohio, the project for Ohio, West Virginia, and Kentucky. We need really to, from the three states, to review the project. This is the, we programmed the project based on the best knowledge we received from the state, from the three states. As I said, this is a draft, and it's still a fluid status. Basically, hopefully we'll have more information on the project. Maybe we can add, delete, depends on the comments, and also depends on the public review process. For the air quality issue, it was really complicated. As we know, back in July 20th, 2013, US EPA revoked the transportation conformance requirement from 1997. And that basically wouldn't have to do a conformity. Then again, the things changed. Back on December 23rd, 2014, DC Circuit Court vacated EPA decision to revoke the 1997 requirements. Then basically, they told us we have to do the conformity. And we were in consultation with ODOT, how we're going to address the conformity issue. Then again, 2 weeks ago, Federal Register notice, final rule, they decided to revoke again the 1997. But they said this will be effective in 2 weeks. That means effective will be in April 3rd. What does it mean? That means for the time being, what we did really, we did the conformity based in the previous emission analysis. That means to keep these documents good till April 3rd. It's still really things very complicated, but for the time being, we met the requirement for the federal EPA, and hopefully after April 3rd, we didn't have to do a conformity. This is the agreement with ODOT, and the email came from ODOT. They said, basically, ODOT decided not to do a conformity requirement for the TIP after April 3rd. That's what happened. If you have any questions, the air quality rules, it keep changing every 2 weeks.
Anybody from either of the three states have questions?
Sylvia, when would you like us to have comments on this? Is there any deadline?
Yeah, actually, I would like to have the comments as soon as we can. If we can have them before April 3rd, would be good. Okay. At least we'll, if any changes in the air quality regulation, we can address them quickly.
If I can ask the folks that are here from each of the individual states to go through the documentation on the projects in your state or your community or your county, and if you've got questions, get them raised before we wind up in a policy meeting on Friday so that if there's something major, it can be addressed prior, enough time prior to give staff an opportunity to address whatever that is before the final adoption of the TIP in the policy meeting. With that said, we need a motion to adopt.
Yeah, we need a motion to
adopt the draft. Motion, do I have a second?
Second.
Marion, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Presentation of the Kiowa 16 draft UPWP for the Huntington urbanized area. Celine, again.
Yes.
You got a busy day, I can tell.
Yeah, busy day. I think that's really the work. This is the thick document to show the work program. And I said all the time I like to have an abstract. If you go to the abstract in the second page, it will explain that what this work program is covered. It's covered the three states. And this is a requirement for the planning rules. I think to make the things easy, it is very complicated work program. We have positions in a couple of three states. If you go to the table of contents, it shows you the sub-elements, basically what is covered in the work program. Like, for example, the West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio joint planning from line item 3081 through 9, that's jointly between the three states. Then we have project code 380 to cover some of the transit planning activities. And page 3, that's basically show you what's the activities. And really, I don't want to, it is a very thick document. It is a draft, and we're supposed to have the final draft by April 30th. That means if you have any comments from state, federal, local, please, you have the time to address them and send me the comments. We'll work on these comments to be addressed correctly. Of course, that's what program also addressed the coordination with REC and the planning process, since we share the TMA with them. Basically, it helps us to meet the TMA requirement. It helps us to meet our next certification in October 2016. Terry actually she works with me on the work program, and Jody, and Bethany, and Jessica, Dora. It's a team. It is very, as you said, very thick program. It's double-sided. Almost exceeded the 200 pages. Terry, do you want to add anything? We take a side.
No, it's just that, you know, look through it very carefully. You know, we think about this. We don't just throw it together. We actually try to address all the topics that we believe will benefit the region, you know, the TMA best. And but you know, if there's if that's the only thing I would say.
Yeah, actually, that we addressed. There is an emphasis. Planning area came from Ohio. It's been addressed. Emphasis planning area from Kentucky been addressed. West Virginia, been emphasis area. It's been addressed, and we met all these federal requirements. The federal requirements is general for the three states. Sometimes we have to go to the state requirements to match with the federal requirements, and also there's a local interest for some project also met. As we know, I mean, the current transportation bill is good till May 30th. 21st. That means basically, virtually, we have really a good vision to May 21st. We don't know after May 21st what happened. But we will assume will be stay the same, unless things change. Jessica, do you want to address anything on the transit?
I don't know if there's anything there that I won't cover elsewhere. So
I think to be fair for this group, to go ahead and review the work program. Basically, I think West Virginia they can go check West Virginia line items. Ohio they can check around Kentucky, see what is the common, and we can address it and see if that financially it met the goal of each state, and that's what we have all the local matches. We have the commitment from the local matches there.
It's 202 pages, if I pick the right number here. Okay.
Actually, the work is completed just this morning. I mean, that was a dynamic process.
It's real dynamic.
We tried to send Elwood, he made the request, he needed the documents last night, but unfortunately just completed this morning, but we said he has enough time to review. It's an annual, the work program, it's an annual thing, but every year it's changed in size and responsibility.
So again, with this document, I'm sure everybody's going to pour through all 202 pages before Friday, but take a look at your pertinent sections if you have something that you want to address to get back to the staff, obviously tomorrow, so that they would have an ability to address whatever that is before we go into the policy meeting on Friday in Ashland.
And even if it's going to the policy, still you have time to through the review process. The review process is open till... And still, even if it would come to the April 30th, it's not going to be a final. We could have final draft. I mean, still, maybe it still keep changing. As I said, that, yeah, we never end it. Anytime we can change. But we need the basis to, of acceptance but to move ahead.
But if you have some major issue now that you'd like to see addressed before it's adopted by the policy committee on Friday, you need to do that, and you need to get it here early in the day tomorrow.
I mean, I got to ask. I mean, just glancing at the West Virginia okay. number, it looks like it's double what the allocation was last okay. year. Is that what you're asking for?
Yeah, actually, remember when we had a meeting with you and Rob, we have a three project, the Huntington Storm Water and the Tri-State Access Airport Study, and we have also the bridge replacement study. That we said, if we have the choice in that time, either we can proceed through the sub-allocation or proceed through the work program. That's the three projects that make it, the cost higher. Because of these three projects, was roughly the Huntington Storm at 250, the bridge replacement 200, the airport around 60,000, that's there almost 500,000.
I mean, we'll need to review it in conjunction with what the other MTOs, but I'll tell you right now, double what your budget was okay. last year is probably not going to make it. So.
Okay.
Well, I think you guys identify, if I understand you, Salim, you guys have identified the work that you want to accomplish.
Okay.
We're just having a question, has it come out of the
okay.
bucket or come out of your SDP urban bucket?
Okay. Yeah, that's...
We're trying to fit it out of the PL bucket
okay.
if we can, but if
yes.
we can't,
Okay. We are flexible the way you want to address them. If you said we can do the sub-allocation, thank you. If you go BL funds, thank you. If you see combo, both, that's still good. But the only thing is really we have the match for this project, local match for this project available. And with the agreement on the Huntington Stormwater Mitigation Project, we agree is 80-10-10 initially. It is actually whatever you... Just tell us what to do, we will follow.
We'll look at it. Okay. Like I said, you know, all the MPOs are requesting money above what their allocations are, and then decisions
okay.
will have to be made as to which MPOs get the contingency funds that are
okay.
available.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But double is a little much.
Yeah, double, I agree. But, I mean, this is that's one route we follow. If you recall, when we had the meetings back in, like, a few weeks, we said you have the option. I mean, just...
Sure.
Or you want to just pick one, hold the other. We are flexible. I mean, we don't have really.
Yes.
Selene, we went back and checked from that discussion about your H Street study that Huntington had proposed. And you know, we have the Fifth Street project that's
okay.
in the program to be replaced. I think there's some economies there. If Huntington has some funds to match construction, I think we can work possibly the study for
okay.
A Street into our Fifth Street project
okay.
and get them done environmentally clear together, get all that done simultaneously, and maybe we have only one contract.
Okay.
So it'd be maybe ultimately cheaper.
Okay.
But we need to talk
okay.
to the city and see if
these
funds for construction, I think we might be able to handle the
okay.
match on the study part.
Okay.
Because as a consultant on our Fifth Street project, it's just getting started.
Okay.
So it's a good time to, if we can roll it in and do it together.
Okay.
Because I think there was some talk, one maybe used
okay.
to make the traffic for the other.
Okay.
So I just want to put that on the table.
Yes, thank you. But actually, initially, the 8th Street Bridge study replacement initially came from the city engineer that time. And the city engineer now is not around, actually, who has the vision for this project. And basically, we took his vision and we proceed. Still, we need to meet with Charles Hawley to see how we're going to address the needs of the new administration now at the city. But at least we have the minimum acceptance from all parties. I think we need...
The thing that I would anticipate is, if like expressing Muriel's concerns about the fact this is double, those kind of comments can be added as a cover page to what we're adopting on Friday with the policy committee. Concerns, whatever issue, obviously we're not going to amend a 200 and some page document in a day, but at least if you have comments, significant comments, which I think that's a significant comment, that those can be raised to the policy committee. And understand the policy committee, this is from my perspective, doesn't like to deal with a lot of detail information, but those kind of comments I think are pertinent to have added to this when they make the adoption. So with that, we need a motion to adopt the or approve
yes.
the draft issue of the Unified Plan Work Document for 2016. Motion from someone.
So moved.
So moved here. And second from Ralph Klein. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Good time with those two heavy-duty documents to say the staff does a fantastic job with this. Put a lot of money into what transpires, but the operation. But I appreciate anybody that's had to put this together. Okay, good, bad, or indifferent, whether people have got comments or things they want to see changed in it. But putting that much work in, that's a lot of work. Next item, number six, amendment to the. Amendment number one, the COVID TMA, Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan. Jessica.
Yes, we had a request from Housing Development Corporation to be added. They provide services for seniors, and right now they're providing transportation to and from a center that provides nutrition, exercise, shopping, social, and the ages 65 plus. And for their individuals with disabilities, it's 50 and over. So they were wanting to be eligible to apply for 5310 funds. They're already meeting the requirements, being a nonprofit. So I would hope that we could be able to support them in that.
Just the coordinated plan, those who aren't aware what the coordinated plan is, it's a document, and any of the transit agencies wanting to receive certain types of funding need to have their name included in this document. And at this time, like I said, the Housing Development Corp, so that's what the amendment is, to put them in the document so that they can receive them.
Did they attend, were they active in the coordination
yes.
plan?
Yes. No, they weren't in the coordination plan. Previously, they've asked.
Would they attend the meetings, the two meetings?
They have asked to attend.
Okay. So. I thought you've already been through that process. Do they already have the coordination meetings for this region?
You talk about Dorothy?
Yes, she has.
She has.
Yes.
It's a new agency, actually.
Okay. Yes. Right. And they were.
They were already in attendance, yes. But this is a new agency that's wanting to apply, and they wanted to be placed in the coordination plan.
Well, that's always been the bugaboo with the coordination plan, is that they had to participate, be a part of the actual coordination planning process. From FTA's perspective, it was, that was kind of some ambiguous language. What did they consider participating? As long as they were active and attended the meetings, we felt like that was an acceptable. In this case, in some cases, even coming before to ask to be amended into the plan, if they've gone before you all, that's acceptable too. I was just asking, what level did they?
Well, they're working in conjunction with CISO, and they've been very active with the planning. It's just this particular entity had not been in the plan previously. Because CISO has typically been the applicant.
Okay. And it's a problem if there are new agencies that form that, previously haven't been recognized. We've always been concerned about, how does somebody new get into it?
They're under the umbrella of Huntington Housing.
Well, part of a lot of this process, too, is Jessica contacted other individuals that were eligible, mm-hmm. and at the same time to make sure that they, you know, would be included. And the transit agencies that are receiving funds have also been, you know, contacted and mentioned, you know, asking about, you know, is that going to impact their services? And there was nothing, I mean, there was no negative, you know, impact from any of that. So I don't,
And they're already providing this service with a donated van from TTA. Okay. And so they're wanting to be eligible in the future.
With that, we need to approve amendment number one.
I think that's the information.
Small document.
The small document. Housing Development Corporation that...
and it went out for public review as well, as you can see with the thing on here. So exactly. It was...
The chair will entertain a motion.
I entertain that motion.
Motion. Second? Second from Ralph. Charles. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. I think the rest of what we have doesn't require any action, I think. But let's go from now. 7, ozone. Regional emissions and the AQ conformity.
Actually, just I'm going to add one thing. I think I mentioned most of the requirement under the TIP, the new TIP. But the only things really, just I'm going to add and stress, the Federal Register notice, we're hoping to be published in 2 weeks. And if it's published within 2 weeks, that means the effective days, 30 days after the publication, that means that we are hoping this will revoke for good, the 1997 ozone NAAQS requirement, for all purposes, for everything, hopefully. If not, it will cause a problem. And that's what the expectation. And all that, they told us, yes, it will happen. I didn't hear anything from Kentucky and West Virginia, but Fred Durham, he said, yes, the notice will be published in 2 weeks. That's it.
You did do conformity on the
so. Yeah, as I said, actually, with ODOT, with the consultation with them, they said basically this current one, based on the previous emission analysis, they told us go ahead and do it this way for the time being. And based on the previous emission analysis of 2013, was in that time, really, we completed them the air quality conformity for the MTB, even though it was no requirement, but we thought it's a good practice. But it was very helpful for us, really.
So even if this revocation doesn't go through as expected, we'll still
be... Yeah, if it doesn't go through, that means we have to do a full emission regional analysis for the whole thing, for the MTB, and hopefully will not cause delay for the three states.
Okay, with 7?
Yes.
Next one's number 8. Kiowa's tentative timelines to meet the TMA requirements and responsibilities.
That's really kind of I think based on the tentative timelines, and Terry, you can correct me, we completed all the requirement. The congestion management process has been completed. The 53 designation, all these requirements met, except one thing, we have to have one MTB for the TMA. And that's supposed to be completed by March 2016, that the agreement with the Federal Highway Administration. Hopefully, by that time, we are hoping we completed all the requirements for the new TMA. Of course, everything, we will coordinate this, the last requirement with RIC. Was that important for us to be coordinated with them? And hopefully after that, we'll meet with them, see if anything's missing from the TMA requirements. Terry, do you want to add anything? Please, feel free. Jody? Bethany? Jessica, transit?
I think I'm good. Whenever you're ready for
okay. me. Okay, yes, we'll wait until... I know you have big update on the transit coming soon.
Item number 9. Go ahead.
I didn't want to jump ahead.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Number nine is the 5310 program for the DMA area. And what we've done recently, we have finally gotten approval for the 5310 grant funding that we've had this week. So that's our FY13 fund. We're going to start that process. We're going to be starting the FY14 grant cycle soon. We're playing a little bit of catch up here, just trying to get this program established. Another thing that we're considering is, we've started having transit meetings with the three major transit providers in the area. So we've had our first one. We're having another one tomorrow. It was delayed because of the snow. And we're finding a venue where we can really get these issues out on the table, and we're working towards more coordination, better marketing, getting it out there. With that being said, one of the projects that we're looking at going forward with is a rideshare program. And so we're tentatively looking at, with a feasibility study, rideshare for the region. Also, something else that has been brought up is the possibility of creating a mobility manager position so that we have a one-stop shop for how you get from point A to point B, that first and last mile. So if you're not on a fixed route, that type of service, that we could have someone who is dedicated to getting all of the transit organizations, whether it's 5310, 5307s, making sure that they're all working and coordinating their efforts. We, Terry and I, went to SPC, Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, to see how their rideshare program worked 2 weeks ago, and they were very, very impressive in how they were coordinating their efforts. They do actually provide some rideshare service for part of West Virginia, and that's how we ended up there. And they are taking in such a large region, and they're able to coordinate those efforts, and they have social services organizations, they have transit agencies. Everyone is working together and really helping to promote each other. And so hopefully if we move forward with some of these steps, we'll have something there that makes transit more accessible. The apportionments have been released. There's a small margin of difference, but again, these are partial apportionments. So whenever we're looking at what our financial situation is going to be for the next year for our transit agencies, it's pretty much on par with where we were. It's a little lower. And does anyone have any questions for me? I have a few updates from
you. Yeah, on the apportionment, since it was an 8-12
right.
Apportionment, or three quarters, do you know what the gap is? How much do you know specifically how much lower?
I do, and I can share those numbers if you'd like to see
all
them.
Right.
I just basically extrapolated it out for what it would look like for 12 months if that was the funding level at which we continued.
Right. Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Jessica. Transit system status update for the total area. Looks like there's, what, 5 items. Various individuals, whoever various is, when you speak
various, actually, we'll start with Jessica a little bit, then with Terry, and then me, and then everybody want to share from Marion from the transit, and Ashland Bus System, and Ralph, and that we'll see.
Sorry, TTA had asked me to say a few words on their behalf because they had a meeting conflict today, and they wanted to let everyone know that the 5310 program is moving ahead. And also, they had a vendor come in and demonstrate. They had applied for grant money. And it's the AVL CAD system, which is an advanced vehicle location, so they can GPS track, so you have real time as to where your bus is. So that's something that they're hoping to implement. And right now, they're using Route Match for their dispatching for their paratransit. So that was one of the options, but they're looking for something that's compatible with what they already have. And that's the word from Paul and Jennifer.
Thank you. COBRA participation plan.
How about the triennial review? And you, you want to mention anything about
the review? I don't have anything to mention for that.
Okay. About the participation land, they decide, yes, that Terry?
That's more Terry.
About the triennial review, the transit systems actually this year are all going to be reviewed around the same time, and they're all working towards that. They had to turn their initial paperwork in mid-December to the FTA, and that's going under review. And what they end up doing with that is that they come back to the agencies and complete their on-site review and kind of give them hints and suggestions as to what to improve or and kudos for things that they're doing very well. So I think Ashland is scheduled, I think, in May. You're in July, and I think TTA sometime in June. So they're all going to be hit at the same time. So I think that there was some conversation that the three agencies, after one was visited, they might share as to what would, you know, what was coming for the rest of them. Interesting is that we have three different FTA agencies. So what one may be looking for, the other ones may not be. So it's going to be an interesting summer.
So will it be, I assume then it's going to be three different review teams?
That's what we understand, yes. Wow.
I mean, you would think that they'd want to try
more. Yes, for a fact,
teammate. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we know who ours is out of Wisconsin.
Yeah. You changed the third to the fourth. So.
I know that some of them overlap and do.
Right.
You know, so I was thinking, well, maybe there's somebody that does Region 3, Region 5, you know, and all three, but.
At this point, as far as we know, unless like I said, Marion said that they got a change letter, saying, you know, with people, and so at this point, as far as we know from the, you know, information from the transit agencies, that it will be individual FTA regions and coming in with their.
That's what we were told. It's individual. The people are going to do ours on the 18th and 19th. They're going to do Bowling Green the next 2 days, and then you know other areas in Region 4.
Any other questions on that? I'm going to go ahead and talk about the participation plan. Because of the triennial review, the FTA requires to have certain language in the participation plan that addresses the transit agencies in certain areas. So we are also updating the participation plan. So that when, and it will be completed, we're going to have it approved at the April policy meeting, and it has to go through a 45-day comment period, but we're working on that right now, and we want that language to be in place so when our transit agencies actually are in review that they can show through FTA, yes, it's in there, so they don't get written up. And it's kind of interesting, again, because it's like, you know, we're not being reviewed, but they're being reviewed on something that we don't have in our document. So, like I said, we're all working as a coordinated effort to make sure that, all our modes of transportation are operating efficiently. And, you know, transit's very important for our region. So we want to do whatever we can to assist the transit agencies. And, like I said, it's been a learning process with this TMA. So that's just one of the areas we're doing that. And there'll be more to come in, and we'll send that out, the notice and, you know, documents. It'll be on our website as well for the participation plan and also the public notice. We'll make sure that everybody knows about that. And the document's not too large to actually send. If anybody wants that, they can do that, but it should be on our website as well.
So. Thank you, Terry. Lawrence County Transit.
I really don't have a whole lot to report. Mike is not able to be here and things, but the buses are running, so does that count?
It's a positive note, Ralph. Thank you.
Terry, do you want to mention anything about the MOUs between the... Because we're supposed to update our MOUs with the three transit operators.
Okay. One of the things we're also working on is that we need to show that we're have a coordinated effort. This is another requirement, I think, that the FTA is requiring from the transit agencies to show that they're coordinated effort with with the MPO or the TMA and the other transit agencies. And so we have are working on an MOU that states those conditions that, you know, what we do, what they do throughout the region, and, you know, how we assist each other. And that is going to go in also. We were putting that somewhere in the chip as well, once we get it signed.
Just to add to Terry, we have existing MOU with TTA, mm-hmm. and that's what, but wouldn't have any MOU with Ashland Bus mm-hmm. System. I wouldn't have really a general MOUs with Lawrence Transit System. And we thought really we need to be consistent, as the federal government told us, you have to be consistent. That means to be consistent, we need to have other two MOUs with the other two transit operators for the fixed route. To make sure really we don't overlap the planning activity, to make sure we have good understanding and the process. And it's good to that it helps us to advance the project, advance their vision, to help us really to meet our planning goals. Kind type of these MOUs. And hopefully that our goal really to have these MOUs in place before next couple of meetings, as that's been before April the 22nd. Okay.
Thank you. Ashland Bus System.
I'll go along with what he said about we're running buses.
Good deal. Most positive thing I've heard. Step away from the chair for a moment to make a comment on our area. I still want to see some type of investigation or some kind of forecasted period when we can take Souda County and put them into the transit system with the existing system that they already have in place, to get them into Portsmouth, then a pickup route coming back across the river, back up the Kentucky side of the river in some format. If the format to start off with doesn't go any farther than the bridge over the dam, to make that part of the loop take place, it would pick up communities on our side of the river in Kentucky. And I don't know what's going on with the existing system that's already in operation in Ohio, but we need to, if we don't put that on some kind of an agenda to say we're going to look at this, it's never going to happen. And it may be that if we're looking at something that's 10 or 15 years away, but we need to get it into the planning deal. So I want something done with that as Kentucky representative.
To add to that, I've been in some discussions with the folks down at Star Justice, and
yes, sir.
Of course, you're probably some of the things that's going on down there with the closed jail facility, and they were looking at perhaps somehow us expanding some of our routes or tying to the transit center down to that. I mean, that's just across the border into Souda County, so
exactly.
That may be something we could think about too.
Yep. That'd be my first concept, at least the first phase that gets to the dam, to the bridge, to make some type of additional loop coming through there. And in that regard, it's going to, from my perspective, it's going to require that Greene County has to take an active role in putting some kind of transit operation together on the Kentucky side of the river that would loop up with what takes place on the Ohio side of the river in Souda County. So if we don't start putting something into program to look at it, it's never going to happen. And there's a definite need, significant need right now, from a population that doesn't have mobility in some of these lesser communities.
Cuyahoga recognizes the need that, you know, Boyd and Greenup County is in need of additional transit activity. So Because of that, we have requested through the Office of Transportation Delivery, Kentucky Transportation Cabinet's transit agency, to have a study completed for Boyd and Greenup County, and it should be a comprehensive study for Boyd and Greenup County. And at this point in time, I actually sat down and discussed with them about a month ago, and they seem very favorable to fund that study. We will have to come up with a match for that as a 20% match at this time, and but they also recognize that our region is lacking in services, and they want to see what they can do to help facilitate improving those conditions. And so we will submit that application with their work program to them. I think it's in April, and then they'll come back and give us a yay or nay. And once they come up and approve it, we will move forward, and a consultant, what we have talked about, a consultant would be hired and to complete that study. So hopefully that within, and with that study, we will make sure that, you know, that all the stakeholders are involved in both Boyd and Greenup County both. So.
Thank you.
Good thinking.
I still think the functionality of it will work better if we get the Souda County folks involved. Item 11, 15, transportation studies and project updates.
I'm going to go through these very quickly. Huntington, the multimodal riverfront project, all I'm going to say about that, it's in progress. There's a lot of activity. You'll be hearing a lot about that probably in the next couple of months. But right now, they're moving forward with trying to get that project going. The Boyd and Greenup County transportation or non-motorized transportation plan. We spoke yesterday with Kimberly Horn, who's the lead for the study, and they are moving forward with that. They are trying to schedule some meetings for the community, some stakeholder meetings for Boyd and Greenup County. As a part of the study, there's also an Ashland or downtown Ashland parking study. And so they're actually going to move forward with the parking study first so that they can make sure that they have everything in order so that they can do a very complete study for the non-motorized portion of it. So be looking for some information or being contacted or some public, through the newspapers or through us as to where there might be some public meetings. And we really do need input from the community. So you all, as a TAC member, please get the word out if we email to you about attending those meetings. The Lawrence County multimodal study, that's on track, and right now that they are still scheduled to hopefully have that completed by July 2015, is what I understand. And I think they're trying to be in the process of doing some, let me go back here. I guess E.L. Robinson is in the process of checking some parking lots and study from occupancy areas. And they're going to do a study, and hopefully after they do whatever they, their study, what they find, that afterwards they're going to try to also find some funding or identify some funding sources that can help pay for the projects.
Yes, actually, the two things I'm going to add about the DSS system, decision support system, that's for Cuyahoga congestion management process or for the TMA. That we decided really that we will rely on the GIS management database. That means Bethany, she's the one who will be running that decision, the DSS system, decision support system. For the travel demand model, of course, the merging Ashland into Cuyahoga model, that will officially, we're supposed to have a workshop with a consultant, the stakeholder from Kentucky and West Virginia, on March 4th, next week. And we invited the modelers from West Virginia DOT and Ohio, and hopefully we'll have a good start on the modeling process. And hopefully with the DSS and the model, we'll have very strong tool to decide to make good decision in the future project. And hopefully that will be, these two systems will be available for the three states and available to Rick, to anybody from the states. And actually, we're the second MBO in the country who has this system, the DSS system. It is a very sensitive system. Hopefully it will be very helpful to teach other people the benefit of this system. Do you want to add anything?
I can't remember who all was on that group. I remember Marion and I were. The big deal out of this from Cuyahoga's perspective is that decision model to get that. And I didn't know that we were one of few. The other thing is we've all got these individual projects, both Ironton, the one in Boyd County, the one in Greene County and the one in Ashland in particular, as far as bike routes, parking issues, and trails, that type of thing taking place as a side part of it. But the main package is to get this decision model process. Well, we're on the back sheet.
Yeah, the back sheet.
Okay.
Number 12, annual listing of FY214 Ashland federally obligated projects.
Okay. Every year, any agency that receives federal funds or federal transportation funds has to submit a report with what funds have been allocated. And so Kentucky is on a different schedule than West Virginia and Ohio. So we submitted ours in December to the Transportation Cabinet, and which they in turn submitted it to the Federal Highway Administration. And really what it listed, it shows a list of projects and all the federal funds through what we did through the fiscal year 2014. And I guess it went through fine. We haven't heard anything back. So Thomas is our guy for that.
I think we're good on that.
We're good. We completed it.
I think it is on the website.
It should be on the website. If it's not, we will make sure that it's on there so that people do. I think that's a requirement. So, if anybody
has any questions? Just for public information, really, so that people can see what we've been spending money on in the area.
It's about the transparency. We're all about being transparent. So.
Yeah, actually, for the federally obligated projects, usually 90 days from the end of the fiscal year. That's what the requirement in Ohio and West Virginia. For Ohio, we meet that deadline, 90 days from July. Basically, October 1st, we release our list. But Kentucky, they chose really to go from 90 days from the federal fiscal year.
That's right.
And that's what. We're not in the same timetable. I mean, two states in one schedule, it's another schedule.
Another difference from over three different states sometimes.
That's it. 13, overview of the Cahoba sub-allocated funds. Now, this is the big deal, guys. This is money.
Okay. For those of you that are new to attending is and not aware is that as we became a TMA, we were allocated certain funding for certain types of projects. And one is surface transportation program, one is transportation alternatives program, is that what it is?
Transportation alternatives
program,
yes.
And CMAC, congestion mitigation air quality program. We have had the first round. Also, we had the 5310, but I don't know if that's on here or not. But we'll talk about these first. But we had the first round of applications. You know, as being a new process, we probably didn't get as many as we're, you know. I mean, when everything's new, it's just kind of slow. But we did get quite a few people who did inquire. We had some requests from the City of Huntington, City of Russell, and right now we're going through the process as trying to figure out, making sure they're eligible. We're meeting with the agencies or the cities that have applied for the funding, and once again, this is new. I mean, to me, it's new, so like I said, we're working through it. The CMAC applications actually is only for, we're only overseeing, I think, parts for Ohio. Both Kentucky and West Virginia have their own process, so anybody requesting or wanting CMAC funds has to go directly through the state. So Kentucky, you know, like I said, for the STP funds and TAP funds, we have the West Virginia, Ohio, and Kentucky funds for those. And we're talking, you know, I guess Kentucky, we have about, right at this point, about $2.2 million. Ohio,
around 1.2 million.
1.2. West Virginia, a little up, $3 million for projects. And there are certain eligibility requirements for these projects. And that's kind of what we're working through, is make sure all the projects are eligible, and that we're trying to start working more closely with the DOTs to make sure that everybody's on the same page. So. The next cycle, We'll have another one, I think they're due in June. So if you have a concern about those or have a question, then let me know. Or if you have your city or county wants to apply, then let us know. We'll get information to you.
The Kentucky and West Virginia projects, then, does staff here produce those applications for the submittal to the state agencies?
Yeah. The applications actually are online, and they are, they're not a web-based, so you can't fill them in, send them directly to us, but you can type it in online and print it and then mail it. We actually have an intent to apply and an application online. But yes, what we do is the applications come to us, we do a preliminary review, and then we start working with the states and the feds.
Okay.
Terry, I think at the meeting that we had a few weeks ago, the process was supposed to be documented.
Actually, hopefully, we'll send it to you next week, right, and send you the.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, like I said, that's what I was saying. We're going to try to work more closely. This last month, since we've met with you, we've had, trying to get the TIF together. We've got the youth work program. We've had the, we've missed some days with snow up here. Yeah. So we're, but yes, we are, like I said, we want to be transparent. We want to make sure that everybody's aware of what's going on. So, honestly, if there's something that we're not doing, let us call us and let us know if there's some question, because sometimes in our head, we think that everyone understands, and because we work with it more regularly, or so we may not realize that we skipped something, but if we do,
we know, like the West Virginia DOT, they do have more experience and knowledge than us on the STD. That's reality. No way we can compete. Because, of course, your knowledge, wider knowledge than us. Our knowledge is limited to 3 counties comparing to to the statewide knowledge.
I think the main thing we want to do is just make sure that the process is compliant with what needs to be in place. We're not questioning what is done. We just want to make sure we have that oversight.
Now, the difference between the STP program and the TAP program is the TAP actually has to be a competitive process, versus where the STP is an application process. So the TAP is going to be a little bit more stringent. Because like I said, it is a more, you have guidelines, you have point values, you have certain things that you have to abide by than the STP. So like I said, we're, as a TMA with all 3 states, the process isn't completely new, but it's new for a 3-state thing. And even the money's different from each state, it's still, we're learning. Mm-hmm. And so, but I think, I said we met with you all, and you had offered maybe assistance with a program, a database that might help. And I think we might want to look into that too. So we wanted, like I said, again, we're here to serve you all.
Is it possible for us to I think you sent an email out regarding the application process. Is it possible to recycle that send list again with that information again?
Yeah.
Because by this time it's gotten lost or eradicated off somebody's Outlook or whatever email program there is, so that it would probably be beneficial for them to see it. And if there's issues like what he just raised, that's brought to the board bear as well. Next item is a whole bunch of items. It's the project updates. First one is Halberrier Road Safety Audit, Bethany.
As most of you all know, we've talked about this before, about the safety issues on Halberrier Boulevard, particularly around the hospital. And we went out and did a road safety audit last summer, along with the West Virginia DOH led that effort. And they have come out with some recommendations. They came out with the final document in December. And so the TIP amendment that we talked about, the signals, that's part of, that came out of that safety audit. And there were some other things that they had suggested, lighting and crosswalks.
Speed study.
Yeah, and we've talked about maybe doing a speed study along that area. And I know the city is also has also talked about this area, so I think it's going to just be, have to be a big coordinated effort to get stuff done. And is there anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, just we have initially, we thought really to have a public input workshop and on the Holy Grail. That's, I think, tentatively scheduled on March 31st. That's what the Kiowa want us to do, have a workshop or public input workshop, March 31st in the Holy Grail in the hospital, share this, the knowledge of it. Yes?
I was going to follow up on what Brandon said. We have, Kiowa will have a TAP application process for the pot of money that's allocated. And of course, we have an application process for the remaining funds we get. There's a bridge that's requested over Hal Greer in the 2014 application. Part of the TAP project. I think it may be a longer-term strategy out of the study report that Bethany is referring to, is to put a great separation for pedestrians. So just let you know, there's an application in for a bridge that you'll go through.
It's for pedestrian bridge? Mm-hmm.
It's part of the TAP.
Yeah, okay.
So you're talking about March 31st, you guys are going to host the public meeting specifically?
That's tentatively.
RSA or just?
No, general, like to get the feeling people what's, it's a general, just we need people what they think about the Holy Grail. It's more like a public workshop.
Is it a corridor type or is it a site-specific?
Really, it can't, but it is, as far as I know, I have really little knowledge from the chairman. Like basically, they said they want to make sure about the Holy Grail, to address the Holy Grail project. This is what. It's more a general public workshop to on the Holy Grail.
I guess I'm still confused as to what, I mean, are you talking about, I mean, are you guys going to be soliciting comments from, you know, the interstate all the way down to Marshall, or are you talking about pedestrian issues and signal issues just at the hospital?
Improving access, well, like gateway access.
I guess what's the scope?
Yeah.
That's,
I think it probably includes more of the area there along.
But I mean, there's been this whole discussion long term as, you know, as a gateway into the city. I mean, is that, I guess I'm just trying to get a grasp on what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, actually.
I think more at this moment, we're talking more about, near the hospital and, you know, sort of up along that part of the corridor. More north of like the elementary school.
It's more limited scope, just.
And I know, I don't know where Charles is, but we talked with the city about that, and I think they have brought up some things too. So, you know, I think maybe we probably all need to coordinate on some of that stuff to figure out what the best plan is, but.
What time are you guys talking
and where? It's still really tentative. We don't have really just, but we will have, when I have all the information, I will email it to everybody. But tentatively, they said that's the expectation, maybe have a workshop, a public meeting workshop.
We'll let you know.
We'll let you know when we have information.
Yeah, as soon as you start to get some information,
yeah, of course. I mean, that's, but this
with
is
all of the, with that previous job that was done there from the widening, the coordination of the Highway Department did with the Housing Authority and all that, I'm certain you guys will probably get comments and questions that might be greater than your scope of what you're thinking. And
okay.
So it would be good to have a discussion ahead of time.
Okay, okay.
Moving right along, Spring Valley Road Traffic and Safety Assessment.
Do you want to talk about that, or you want me to? Marshall had requested a safety assessment be done up where the VA is and where also the Marshall School of Pharmacy is now located. I guess they just have such a high amount of traffic going in and out now that the pharmacy school is there. And so they just requested a small safety and traffic assessment, and we worked with Kimley Horn, sort of did the initial overview of the data. We got some crash data from West Virginia DOT and traffic counts, and we sort of came up with some you know, small recommendations like signage and, you know, lighting and things like that along that roadway. And long term, I know it's in our MTP to widen that to allow more traffic to allow the traffic to flow a little easier through there, and maybe lengthen the turning lane, because I think that that maybe is a problem backing up into the road. And then we also mentioned the Spring Valley Connector, which Slim can probably talk a little bit more about, but that's long, long term.
That's very expensive project, really. That's that Senator Lyman, he brought that long time ago, like to connect the VA hospital with the interstate. It's a very expensive connector. It came one time to the DOT back in 1999 or 96.
Yeah, 98.
I don't recall the year, but in that time it was very expensive connector. A Super 2, they proposed, maybe the cost around $350 million. But very expensive connector. But it's a good connector, right? They can afford, if people, they can afford it. I think, Rob, you are aware. You are aware about this connector?
I remember.
I think the DOT hired a consultant in that time from Pittsburgh who did some model simulations and proposed alignment. And I have all the documentation. If you want, Rob, I could send it to you if you like to have those documents.
Yeah.
Okay. But the connector, this is... It's kind of very difficult to implement.
We've got 11 more items to go through on this, okay. So we can kind of keep these as brief as we can, okay. And we've still got three more active items that we need to address below these. Proposed urban area boundary,
Jody.
The West Virginia portion.
Yeah, back last year, last summer, I guess, the DOT, DOH representative came down, and we looked at the urbanized area for Huntington, and we adjusted those, broadened those slightly, and took them back to the DOH, and they submitted that to Federal Highways. The feds have not reported back from what I know as of last month, so we're assuming that that will go through and the governor will send a letter for it.
Who's in charge?
As far as I know, it was Jennifer Cox, but she moved to District 10, so Marshall Burgess is the contact
Marshall.
For that. At least that's what Jennifer told me.
Yeah, I believe Kevin got the information in that he needed and everything. I haven't heard anything. I'll double check and make sure we don't have anything else.
Is this able to deal with
the West Virginia
Putnam
portion,
County coordination thing, or is this something completely different?
It's more sure like the urban boundary, contiguous boundary.
Just sort of smooths it out.
We took some buckets there and there.
Just make sure it makes sense. Adjust it, make it.
Okay, because we had that in the last consideration.
It really doesn't have any impact at all because we still plan to the county boundary.
Yes.
So
okay.
It's just a thing on paper.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, very good.
Next item, Lawrence County project update. Doug Cade's not here. Have you got anything?
I don't have anything for Doug.
Okay. Ironton Riverfront Trail Multimodal Transit Parking Facility.
We're still proceeding on that. Right now, we're kind of I guess it's on there, or the design of the trails and things have been submitted to both ODOT and to CORE for environmental. So the environmental use and permits are the big thing right now.
And what stage now? I mean, design at stage two or one?
I'd say it's kind of between stage one and stage two. The alignment and everything on the trails things have been identified, been submitted for, I guess, preliminary comments and things like that from ODOT. Max might be able to answer a little bit more as far as that goes. And then we had to submit the information to the CORE for now. I guess we had to do a 408 permit or something, for the CORE. So that was being submitted here. And trying to do some follow-up meetings with them in a couple of weeks.
Because, Ralph, was the construction date, as Scott and Max, they know, it is in the first quarter of the 2016, FY16, that means would be September 2015. That means you will be able to meet that construction date?
Well, that's the debate that we had in our last conversation, and we're trying to confirm that. Right now it's programmed, I think, 17. Our question is, we have a matching requirement that's there, but again, it's trying to get through
okay.
the permits and things on it. So we'll try to get you an answer as soon as we can. Our hope is that we can move it forward now,
okay.
first quarter, second quarter. Okay. Again, a lot depends upon how fast we get permits. The permit application, I think, for the transit marina have been submitted about 9 months ago, so that portion of it.
Okay.
Still waiting some word on that. The intermodal, kind of looking forward to working on the planning. We have another major users wanting to look at the golf carts in town. So I'd like to be able to possibly take a look at that from the transit side of things.
Actually, maybe Terry, she can correct me. We're supposed to have a public with Kimberly Horn and the stakeholders on the 26th, right? March 26th? That's what?
But she had given proposed. Some dates, and okay. she said she's going to start
contacting people.
It might be, yeah.
Yes. Was that the Heartland issue that was the next item on here that you were speaking to when you said intermodal?
Yeah.
Different intermodal. Heartland Intermodal Gateway Statewide Freight Plan and CMAQ application status for the Huntington Traffic Signals, Huntington Mall Traffic Study, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, the Heartland Intermodal Gateway construction's continuing. I don't think they're still looking for tenants for that. I don't think there's any major news on that at this point. The Statewide Freight Plan, the scope for that has been negotiated. We're in the process of negotiating the fee, and that should be done in a couple of weeks, I would think, and it's still on schedule to try to have the plan in place by the end of the year. The Huntington Mall traffic study update, I think last time I talked about some alternatives that StanTech have been asked to look into, and we're finalizing the contract on that and should have them up and running on doing that additional work here soon. So. The one I think it's not listed on here that I know I've reported on in the past is the Route 10 Huntington Melissa Road, and that's still scheduled to go to construction in June of this year. So.
Thank you.
What about the CMAQ application?
Yes, CMAQ applications, I guess, are still open, sort of from the previous application dates. But we're going to look into modifying that application. There's nothing to be done on that at this point.
I think what I saw on the tip kit that, based on the progress came from Kevin, the trip report to show there is a for the signal East Huntington 1.2 million. That's will answer Dr. Nichols' question. Oh. Construction already in the tip.
That's only eight signals.
That's
not.
How many?
I don't think that's what was in the CMAQ.
Yeah, really. How many signals? I mean, that's in East Huntington.
I assume the CMAQ application included like another 50 some that are on
the phase two, yes. Tracks.
Again, the description is various locations, so I don't know specifically.
It's gone down? Okay.
Down
it's not related to the CMAQ application, maybe. But it's still the CMAQ funds. That's what.
That was 2015, late 2015, early 2016 funds for that.
Our CMAQ program has been sort of on a hiatus here, and we're trying to get it back over to some of these.
Anything else? Thank you. Fifth Street Bridge replacement.
As Rob said earlier, the environmental study has just been started. Consultant's been authorized to work. That's going to go through process, and that's going to take a little while. It looks like construction is still scheduled on the STIP for fiscal year 16-17.
Thank you. ODOT project update, Iron Russell Bridge and Chesapeake Bypass Phase 2.
Yeah, the Chesapeake Bypass track awarded $5 million for right-of-way acquisition. So we're currently getting ready to solicit advertising for a consultant aid in helping acquire us some right-of-way on that project. The Iron Russell Bridge Kentucky Tower should be complete within a month, depending on weather. And then you're going to start seeing the main span start going out with the cables. High Tower will be done in October and November. The actual completions have been pushed out to summer of 16, I think from April. So you look at a couple months. They had some issues with the towers originally getting the ground underwater. So those are the updates on there. I do have an update on the North 7 Bridge, which is kind of a problem for a lot of people. They're looking to open that up to two lanes fully complete by 1st of May. So you're probably 2 months away. If anybody has any questions on any other projects, just let me know.
Thanks a lot. I don't know what this one is. Related transportation project activities.
She's not here, actually.
Okay, that's good. We'll move right along. Tri-State Airport.
Yeah, we've got three projects going on right now with Kiowa. One is a, as Celine mentioned, a secondary access road study, whereas we only have one way up to the airport, which would impact, obviously, air transportation folks, including FedEx operations up there. So, being on a mountain, we definitely want secondary access in the event of a slip or something catastrophic that would close down that road. The second we're working with Kiowa on is an economic impact study. Obviously, speaks for itself, economic impact to the region since FedEx in recent years has doubled its operations at the airport. And since our last economic impact study, we now have Allegiant become a major force up there. So, time to update that study. We're also working with Region 2 on the Tri-State Aeroflex infrastructure project, which is the 95 acres we have on the south side of the airport that did not have infrastructure a couple of years ago. Now it has sewer, and we're just about wrapping up the water. The weather helped us up a little bit. That should be done here in the next couple of months. And then we'll have water and sewer up that area, and we just work on gas and electric pretty much. We're going to be putting in fiber also this spring in another project. We're finishing up the taxiway, $7 million taxiway project.
Congressman,
again, another project for us. We're hoping to be done by the fall, but we should be caught up here. Probably they'll start beginning operations again in May and should be done by July. We got $1.6 million from the feds coming to us this year for various projects, including repairing slips and improving our terminal and purchasing equipment. Probably the biggest projects we have in this year is a design of a new taxiway that we're expecting about $10 million in 2016 to complete a new taxiway up to the airport.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
KYTC and the Ashton projects. You guys are on, Joe.
Okay. Skipped one.
I did. I apologize. Let me back up then. Charles Holly, City of Huntington. Sorry about that, Charles.
We made application for TA funds through Cuyahoga for some bicycle pedestrian upgrades, facility upgrades on 3rd Avenue between 9th and 10th Street, and also on 10th Street between Harrisburg Front Park and Ritter Park. The project is basically in response to Marshall University moving the Visual Arts Center downtown, making a better connection between Marshall University and that facility, as well as part of the goals of the PATH to make connections between our major employment centers. We also have a notice of award for, our notice to proceed for construction for the Old Main Corridor project. For a section between 10th and 12th Street. It'll be that final piece that will actually connect from Alger Boulevard to our downtown, which was the major goal of the project. It's a streetscape improvement project that we actually started here at Cuyahoga 15 years ago. So it's it's one of those kind of things that I hope that it doesn't take me another 15 years to get to the very end, but we're hoping to get to the point where we can connect in that gateway entrance to the bridge. But it's an awesome time, though, right now that actually be able to make that connection between the Old Main on campus and our downtown central business district.
Nothing happens in a hurry, does it?
No, it don't happen in a hurry.
Okay, now Kentucky.
Thomas, do you have anything? I'll defer to Joe on the project-specific update, but I did just want to mention that we're in the process of creating a new draft 6-year highway plan.
So District 9 will be working with the MPO and the area development districts and local officials to develop their prioritized listing of projects. And they should have that done by July 1st, at which point central office will take over and look at all the money across the state. So I just wanted to make sure of that. And I'll defer to Joe.
Okay. So I'm going to hang up now. I'll just cover some of our signature plan projects. The first of the sheet is the Boyne County projects. 9-206, that's the reconstruction of 60 from 2716 to Rose Hill Cemetery. That has been let to Mountain Enterprises, and work should begin just as soon as weather breaks there. And so that's going to involve some median removal, some turn lane extensions, and also the intersection of Boy Scout Road is going to be rehabilitated pretty extensively there, so that's much needed. The next project, 9-8400, that's the US 60 from I-64 to Kentucky 180 to Cannonburg, or Cannonsburg. We have received the geotech report, and that's from that we were able to finalize right-of-way plans now. We didn't know where the toes and some of the slopes were going to be. We've got the geotech report, but now we do, so we know the limits of all the right-of-way that we need to purchase, and so right-of-way and utility work will be ongoing now. Next project is, or the last one, 9-8801, that's the idea of grades at US 23 at 12th Street in Cabotsburg. That's Marathon Marine. And we, Brett and I met with Marathon Marine and a consultant there, I guess week before last. And we're negotiating with right away with CSX now to purchase a little bit more right away. And we're going to have a 250 foot turn lane as you go, come southbound on US 23, and also we're able to get a 50-foot turn lane going northbound. There's a apartment complex up the hill across from Marathon Marine. So there'll be essentially two turn lanes there now. So, and we met with Marathon Marine, and they're happy with everything we've got close. Okay, so hopefully see some construction there this year. The next, turn to the next page, Green County projects. The first one, 9-1073, that's the Russell Viaduct Bridge replacement on 244. We're expecting the roadway geotech report any time now, so we'll be able to go on to the next phases of design. The design is ongoing there, and we're still evaluating that culvert that goes under 23. We're looking at either extending it or, you know, we're hoping to just be able to extend what's there, but we may need to reconstruct some of it in the sufficient enough shape. 9-1094, that's the bridge on Williams Avenue. That's funding in the out years, so nothing really, no activity there. 9-1078, that's the demolishment of the bridge on Jefferson Street in downtown Green. We have just received a demolition proposal there, so we're looking at maybe a year. We should see some work at that demolition project. But we're working with the city there to create some sidewalks and some trails, because that bridge served as a pretty important pedestrian crossing in that area. So we're trying to compensate the removal of that bridge and extra sidewalks. So 9-109, that's the painting and cleaning of the Carl Perkins Bridge at the Portsmouth South Shore. The construction letting should be let this spring, either March or April, and we have added some minor repair additions to that contract. We have some cracks, and if you build out, you know, just minor cracks, nothing major. So, but anyways, so we hope to get that going this spring. 9-8509, that's a new connector road from Flatwood, set to take 207 to the Industrial Parkway. The funding is in that years there, so no activity. And last project, 9-132, that's the reconstruction of Kentucky 2. We're working on a contract bond with a consultant there for phase two designs. So we're working into the details of that. So, as far as maintenance projects go, we're not really doing anything except pushing snow.
I have a question on the 80, the connector road. You know, I've had several people asking for another meeting to update the public, or that, you know, I guess we had that stakeholders group. They were wondering what was going on. And at one time you all were going to be holding another, just kind of let them know, but is that still on?
I have a meeting, but I'll follow up with that. I'll talk to Darren about that and let him know that. Okay. I guess you've heard your question.
Several people have asked about that.
Okay, I'll pass it along. So what we have to do is pay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right. Any other comments? comments there. Kiowa, Kelly, you have anything? Kiowa, Fiveco, said
I'm
Kiowa.
Good. I'm getting ready to go through the ranking process. So.
Okay.
The website, okay.
Website, and e-newsletter, and future grant opportunities.
As far as the website, it's a new website hired on IPC.org. It's going to redirect, so anyone in the old should redirect to the new. That's about it. If anyone has any questions or comments, online, a little form today.
Thank you. Now,
Bob, go.
You got
anything?
Still,
Kayo,
why not? You want to talk about
what?
I'm good. Okay. What did you say?
We just wanted to mention that we applied for a SHARP 2 grant. I think the state submitted that for us. And we applied for CO2, which was highway capacity decision making.
Yes, for the group CO2 and the application actually endorsed by West Virginia Secretary of Transportation, Paul Mattox. Thank you for the endorsement from the state. And this is the only application I think came from the state. Danny William, he told us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 50,000. That's what the value of that research.
Anything else on that issues here? Okay. Performance measures update.
Well, I guess I could just mention that KYTC is actively keeping up with the new federal regulations as they're being proposed and finalized. And so far, they've come up with regulations regarding highway safety and also bridge and pavement maintenance. And they've identified proposed performance measures that are related to those two programs, or those three programs, actually. And we're still trying to figure out how exactly that's going to relate to what the MPOs do. But we do know that the MPOs have the option to meet the performance requirements by just agreeing to plan and program projects that help the state fulfill their performance measures targets. So we're thinking that probably we'll have to update the Metropolitan Planning Agreement at some time, once we have a better idea of what we're going to do with regards to performance measures. So it's still kind of a work in progress right now.
They met with all the MPOs, last two or three weeks ago?
It was earlier this month, I believe. We did have a meeting with the MPOs, but I don't think we really came to any definite conclusions.
And for ODOT, really, I don't want to speak on behalf of them. I received an email. They are in the process of arranging a meeting for the MBOs to discuss the performance measure. And that date is undecided yet, but we're expecting that in maybe next month. And Elwood, do you have any update on the performance measure?
No, I guess our process or how we'll approach it will be also addressed in the planning guidance document that we're in the process of creating. I think that's one of the issues that's going to be addressed in that document. So we're going to try to keep up with what's going on.
Okay. As they told, at least what I heard from the other DOT, the MBO has 180 days from the state DOT performance measure. If you adopted one, we have 180 days. Either adopt yours or we have to come with our own. This is what. But of course, we're going to adopt the DOTs.
Some of the larger MPOs may actually, at least in Kentucky, probably are looking at having their own performance measures. So it's at the discretion of the MPO. But for the smaller MPOs, that might be more trouble than it's worth, honestly. We'll see. We haven't set our targets yet, so we're working on that right now.
A data-driven process. It's not. Yeah. You have to have really a lot of data before you decide.
Right. And we have been looking at ways to integrate this into our long-range planning process, even without having specific performance measures. With the new six-year plan that I was talking about that we're working on right now, we're actually looking at ways to calculate what we're calling the technical review score. Okay. So that would be a data-driven ranking, essentially, of different types of projects that are candidates for going into the six-year plan, and that'll be used as a tool in our decision-making process.
Anyone else? Thank you. The MAP 21 federal update. Kevin Burgess.
We have Jason.
I'm not here, and the update's pretty easy. We've got money till May. We'll see what happens from there after that point in time, and very excited to get an update on where the proposed rulemaking's at as far as safety planning. The bridge is currently ready to come out, but there has been no final rules made on any performance measures yet. Expect planning to probably be in the spring, safety probably in the summer.
This is what based on the email I'm receiving from all direction. I heard that the new transportation bill, Grow America, seems to me there is really like a great interest from people in D.C. to come up with a new transportation bill this year.
I'm really hopeful. At this point in time, everyone here knows as much as I do on it. As far as the president put out his proposal, and whether or not that would get picked up or not, that's to be seen. Whether they can work together and put together a long-term bill or not, I don't know.
And we have Michael. I would like to welcome Michael Chirico to our meetings.
I welcome the collaboration with our office. As Congressman Jenkins is district director, I hear the urgency in terms of May with the transportation bill. It is D.C., and I know the congressman is committed to listening to everybody and acting on that, and I welcome any thoughts or suggestions that I can articulate to him in D.C. to kind of fast-track that for us. Thank you for the introduction.
Please, we need you to increase the tax gas.
Yes.
That's what's important for the transportation at least 10 cent index, whatever they called it, to be increased. that's important, really, I think, for everybody, for the DOTs, for the transportation community. The tax gas has to be increased. And,
absolutely. Please call our office, and I will articulate that up to our legislative director on what's going on, and it's good to hear from everyone as well.
This idea is still alive. Increasing the gas tax is still the momentum for this one, or is not?
Looking at what he did with Keystone yesterday, and granted that's not transportation, I just think that, as Evan, as a freshman member on appropriations, he's in a unique position to articulate for transportation needs. But I can't comment more or less on the momentum of what's going on with the actual bill. But my legislative director, Brian Bernard, has familiarity with the appropriations process, and he's really the one I lean on. And I can get clarification and answer.
But if you need support from Kiowa to increase the gas tax, convince the board.
I met with him, with the congressman last week or the week before. I know they had discussions about certain transportation issues. Okay. As well, so it's on his radar.
Oh, thank you.
The last item on the agenda before we'll ask for adjournment is the quick notes. The quick notes are usually taken from the Board and Greenup County Transportation meeting or handed out at that meeting. That meeting was postponed due to weather. It was supposed to be held on the 19th, but as most of us know, we were not really able to get out too well that day. So that has been rescheduled to the March the 5th. It will still be at the Golden Corral at noon, and anybody is welcome to attend. That's over in Ashland. It is a pay-as-you on your own, so like I said, it's open. But one thing you just need to notice is that the meeting dates for the TAC and both the policy meeting are on your agenda, and just please put those on your calendar for future reference, and hopefully we won't have to postpone any of them due to weather from now on out. So,
I'm ready for the summer.
Yes.
Thank you, Terry. Under other business, does anybody else have anything there? Because I got an idea of suggestion or what have you. Because of the number of things that we are dealing with, does anybody think that it's a good idea to maybe try to put together a very brief synopsis of whatever projects you've got going on, whether it's a graphical thing like this or just something short and sweet to put in there, especially for the policy people? I keep thinking about the policy people because my boss at the policy side doesn't like hearing the same stuff over and over again, and we talk to consultants about that, getting up and making 40-11 presentations of the same thing at every policy meeting. They're kind of getting short fused on that. So if that's a possibility and you can do something similar, whether it's graphic or just a short statement type thing, just to try to increase the coverage time, reduce the time, but increase the coverage without having to take a lot of time talking about it. Think about that.
Motion
adjourned. Say.
I will come and bet
you. Yeah. I think you did a better job than I would have.
I'm thinking about, since we're going to be redoing like a 16-year short this year, maybe just not even adding.
So you want to get that in on the 15th?
No. The amendment, we can just worry about that.
Well, this one in terms of